following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Happy Sunday. That's right, it's time for some Corolla Classics for October 13th, 2019. The show, we're going to highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
And hey to you, Gio. I'm excited. We got a good show lined up.
We do.
And this first one, this is a request. Now, before we get into it, I want to remind everybody, if you want to request a clip, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us, like this guy, at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, anything. Now, Don V on Twitter writes, love the classics, Gio. Always look forward to them. I'm not sure if it's been played recently, but Jay Moore doing alternative lifestyle Droopy Dog always cracks me up. It was when he was auditioning to be part of the Floaters. So this is just a mixture of all of our favorite bits. You got the Floaters. You got Jay Moore doing alternative lifestyle Droopy Dog.
Floaters is a legendary bit that I was part of, the Howard Howell form. So to me, all the Floaters bits are amazing. But this one in particular was great. The Al Pacino Floaters part. Jay Moore is always hilarious on the show. Adam Carolla Show 1224, December 10th, 2013. Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. Check it out.
Great to see you, Jay.
Good to see you, my friend. Bald Brian and Allison.
I'm really, really excited that you're here because we've been having fun with Float On by the Floaters.
Floaters.
And it just started when we were in Waukegan, Illinois, and we're all in a van, and it was rainy, and we're driving home from the show, and it was midnight.
What are you, the Melvins? Why are you driving around in a van? You're big time.
Could have been an SUV. But there were six dudes in it. Anytime you get six dudes into one under one car roof, it becomes a van. Yeah. So I turned on the radio and Float On by the Floaters came on, and nobody knew what this was. And, well, Dawson will give you a little taste.
I know. I saw him on TV. It's red just, satin pants. They're cut off at the knee.
It's just people can't picture this was. It seems like an SNL sketch. Aquarius. And my name is Red. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom.
And I like a woman who can hold her own. He lost me at I like a woman.
Hey, gang.
She likes a woman who loves her freedom but doesn't mind his incarceration.
Now I like a woman that's quiet.
It's quiet.
A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe. Leo. Now my name is Paul. See, I like all women of the world.
Look, I just jump in with a semi-racist thought. I never heard a black dude talk about Zodiac sign. I don't feel like that's their bag.
Yeah,
I think in the 70s it was big bag.
I think it was getting laid bag, but I've never met a brother that was into the whole Aquarius thing.
Well, I don't think the Floaters are in it. To quote Bob Newhart, I don't think the Floaters are in it for the art.
Maybe not. But then we thought,
I think they're in it for the chicks.
Wouldn't it be funny if Al Pacino was attempting to get into the band, the Floaters?
It's about the right time.
Yeah, turn my headphones up. How am I supposed to do this? Oh, there's a beat. My name is Al. I'm an Apollo.
Wait, I think that, Al, I'm producing this. Apollo is not a sign.
Let it go. We're getting hot. I like a woman au natural that never has shaved in her life. I need a plain weed eater before I even get my pants off. What are you going to do? My eyes are real big right now.
Yeah.
At the thought of the woman.
Al.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the session band in here. We only have about another 40 minutes.
Talented boys.
Absolutely.
And girls.
A couple in there,
Who's the girl
She's
on the oboe?
Oh,
flautist?
Yeah.
It looks like an oboe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not arguing with you.
Looks like an oboe.
So they're almost in the same phylum.
Woodwind,
yeah,
and brass. How is that the same?
No, okay, you know, I'm not arguing with
I'm
you.
I'm trying to sing a song.
You know, Mr. Pacino, I'm just an engineer.
I'm Pacino, I'm a floater.
Right. So we want sexy talk.
Yeah.
Not, you know, with the weed whacker and everything.
But that's sexy to me.
Well, we're looking for
natural.
Looking for top 40 sexy.
Oh, all right.
Okay, here we go.
I like a 40-year-old woman that likes to be on top when I'm laying down.
It can't be too graphic.
Huh?
We can't be too sexually graphic. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you want me to dial it back a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
We like sexy
Did
talk.
Did I cross your line?
No, I don't have a line. I'm an atheist.
You're one giving me all the advice about how to be in the floaters. I thought I was in the band. We hired you as a producer.
Yeah, I'm trying to make this friendly for the radio.
I'm trying to make a hit record.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
There's the chorus. I got it from here, Adam. Okay. My name is Al. I like a woman with curves that works out of curves because she's too embarrassed because she's too big to work out anywhere else. I like a big fat girl.
We can't use that never shaves. We don't want company. We don't want
it. That has a funky smell. I like funk.
Out.
I would make love to Bootsy Collins.
Oh.
If he was a girl, but he's not a girl, he's a man. Bootsy Collins is a man. I've seen him in a restroom.
Al, a lot of this isn't going to make
the
final cut.
Yeah. That'll make the cut.
Now, what if Norm MacDonald
oh my God.
Tried out for the floaters?
Wait. Are we down a member? How did I get here? Who left?
We want a Canadian.
How many floaters were there?
There's four floaters.
And who left that?
Charles.
Oh, Charles is gone?
Charles is gone.
I like that guy, Charles. You never trust a guy named Charles. If Charles Schultz, you trust him.
Yeah.
Implicitly.
Yeah. Norm?
Yeah.
So what we thought is we'd bring a little diversity to the group.
You want me to be like a black guy?
No, that's the point.
Like a Chinese guy?
No, we like the idea that you're a Canadian guy.
Oh, so I'll be a Canadian guy in the floaters there.
Because we're looking at sort of cross the border.
I like this beat.
You know, so I mean, diversify.
This is a hit.
Yeah. And I feel when you lend your velvety tones to it, we could really
Oh, my God.
Could float right to the top of the
charts.
I'm
ready to go. Let me know when my mic is hot.
It's hot, Norm. Go ahead.
My name's Norm, and I like
We gotta get your sign in, Norm. Sorry, I
don't... Huh?
They give their sign and then they give their name.
Oh, I understand. I had it backwards.
Yeah. You put the sign out there.
I thought that was editing. That was what.
We could clean it up in audio, like in post. But
yeah, you're one of those clean up machines there.
Yeah. No, put your sign. Do you have a zodiac sign?
Yeah,
of course you do. Do you know what it is?
I'm ready to go here. Yeah, Norm MacDonald. This will be take two.
Yeah, you don't have to slate.
It just helps me get into it. You know.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm Norm MacDonald. This is take two. Now it's, I guess, 2A or 3 now, you know.
Yeah, you're getting mired in this, Norm. I think you're
floaters.
You're up in your head. Just you know, speak from your heart, you know.
You want me to let it flow.
Right.
I'm a Sagittarius. My name is Norm. That's short for Norman. And I like a girl with like a really big butt. A girl that's not afraid to be herself, you know? So many of these ladies out there, you know, they put on airs. Not with Norm, you know? You act like yourself.
Right.
You don't have to put on makeup or anything like that. Just come out of the house when I come pick you up. My Dodge Durango promoted.
Yeah. we can't work, you know, brands in.
I'm still a Sagittarius, though.
No, that's not a brand.
I think that's a neon or something, right?
Oh, no, I don't. That's fine. You can give your sign out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm a Sagittarius.
Yeah, we got a clean version of that, Norm.
I'm a You want another version of my sign?
No, no, we got a clean
version. Good God, man.
We got a clean
version.
We have a clean version of your sign. Which is more of the kind of sweet talk, you know, ladies.
Like, sweet talk to ladies. Hey, that's what I'm known for, is sweet talking the gals. Sagittarius Norm, that's me. I like a gal that likes to be sweet talked. Especially when I lay her down in my Kareem of Wheat bathtub there, you know? I like a girl that likes to eat food, yeah? Yeah, you don't want to go on a date and go, I'll just have a salad. Need not apply, I think is the phrase. I like a girl that says, hey, where's all the pasta? Right. Let's get our grub on, you know?
Yeah,
Sagittarius.
We go pasta.
Pasta.
What, Norm, this is going to be played in the States mainly.
What? Good
we,
God.
We need a pasta. If we can get a clean pasta.
I think the record just got
that's all right. We just get a clean
pasta. Need a longer loop.
If we can get a
beef.
Clean pasta from you, we can slug it in.
Pasta.
We just one pasta.
Sagittarius pasta. Yeah, that would be a bad idea.
Norm,
you get a girl come out, no makeup on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And she looks right into the camera and goes, I enjoy Sagittarius pasta.
Hey, can we just get one clean pasta?
All right, one clean pasta. Pasta.
Oh, that was close. That
yeah,
was close.
That was good, you know?
Just one more. Just
everybody
a clean
likes pasta.
Pasta.
Pa.
No, don't hit it that hard.
Is it Nell Clampett?
No, pasta.
I don't call my dad pa.
No, no, just pasta.
Pasta?
There you go. That's
Who
good.
Who says pasta?
No, that's
crazy.
No, we do it here in the
that's
States.
Absurd.
We don't say pasta.
I think you're a wacko.
All right. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well.
You have enough air in you for one more?
I think Chris would like to take a shot at this.
I like...
Yeah. I'm ready. Just don't even set it up. It's flowing now. Yeah. Virgo Leo, I'm on the cusp. Yeah. Chris, I play bass guitar, four strings in the truth. And what I look for in a woman is honesty. Don't lie to me. Don't look me in my eye and tell me that I didn't see what I just saw. Otherwise, I'm going to take my fist and brain you. And your brains will be all over the parking lot of TGI Fridays. And everyone will run out and go, whoa, that man. Yeah, he just bashed that girl's brains in for lying to him. The Virgo Leo man on the cusp that plays bass.
Yeah, hey, Chris,
who are you?
I'm the engineer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's your train?
No, different kind. I'm sound tech.
Sound tech engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to. We want you to do your thing.
Yeah,
and you're doing
do
it great.
My thing, baby.
But bashing someone's head in with your fist.
That's
is
what
just,
gets me off.
I know, but.
Yeah.
We're trying to get some spins on the AM dial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So that kind
just
of
dial
talk
it back. Take me back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Dawson will take us back to the top.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm feeling it. Virgo Leo on the cusp.
Can we just pick one?
Well, I'm on the cusp, baby.
I know,
depends
but I
on what newspaper you read. August 23rd. You could be a Virgo if you read the New York Times and then in Vogue magazine. Whoa! All of a sudden, I'm a Leo.
I'm not that worried about that right now. I just feel like if you said Virgo...
But I can't pick one. It goes against my astronomical sign.
I don't feel like people are going to be upset if you just pick the one, but they could be confused potentially.
Who gets confused about the astrological chart?
Yeah,
morons. That's who you want buying this record is morons that don't know the 12 signs of the zodiac that can't wait to wear through.
All right, you know what? We'll probably spend too much time on
look,
this.
My name is Chris.
Yeah.
For you, engineer with no train, I'll do this for you. I'm Chris Leo. I play the bass. It's four strings, six strings. That's too many. And what I look for in a lady is lady parts. If I'm with a girl and I don't see lady parts, I get out of there. I don't stick around. When the manhandle comes out, I'm gone, baby. So
cool,
if you meet me backstage...
Can I jump in just for 1 second?
I like to make believe we're live and there's an audience in front of us.
Well, but I'm like...
You in the front row, take off your pants. Do you have a penis?
Talking about transvestites is not really...
Who said anything about that?
Well, you said a lady who's got man parts.
Yeah, I'm talking about big arms.
Oh.
Shoulders.
You know what? Then I'm sorry.
Maybe
continue.
A bid.
Well,
Not like Kelly Preston, like a beard beard.
Did you hear the other floaters?
Yeah.
Did you hear what they liked in a lady?
The black men.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They liked a lady who, you know, carried herself.
One man, like the girl that's quiet.
Right, right.
I like a screamer.
Yeah, but what... And I appreciate that, but we
but
can't
really...
But
it's got to be on the AM dial.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Let's just try one more, Chris.
Leo, Chris... I like a girl that's not afraid to speak her mind. Unless, of course, we disagree and then we work it out as a couple. That's what a relationship is all about, compromise. If I disagree with what you say, then that's fine. We'll just drive home in silence. And then when we get back up to the apartment, I'll sleep with my back to you. And then when you least expect it because you think I'm angry with you, I roll over. And we cuddle. Cause that's what a real man does for his girl. They don't always want to make love all night long with your stamina. Just give her a hug and say, oh, baby, I love you. Thank God you paid. I appreciate your love and all your lady parts. Sorry. I stink. I couldn't even get through my own fucking stupid shtick.
Jay Moore, buddy, I love that.
Oh, God.
It was funnier when it was...
Yeah, I need more cowbell. Use the room.
All right, now, I'm looking at so many names on this.
In that cowbell sketch, they call him Bruce Dickinson. That's the lead singer of Iron Maiden.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Did not know that. We're going to do some news, but at some point, I don't know, Keitel, Tracy Morgan.
Let me do one more as alternative lifestyle droopy, your favorite.
Okay. Now right. When I did your show.
Yeah, you said I stole it and I panicked. Because you were like, oh, I liked that the first time when Mencia did it. And I'm like, what? And you go, yeah, and he stole it off of Rogan in the mid-90s. You hit like the two names that are the wheelhouse of comedy, police, and theft.
You know what I love? I love how incredibly insecure we all are. And I like it. I like how insecure we all are that if my... my 7-year-old son said to me, listen, Dad, I need to talk to you about your attitude. And I'd go, what? And he'd go, after recess, I'd be a fucking mess up until we spoke. Like, Jay Moore, funniest guy on the planet, I was doing his radio show. He introduced a character called...
Alternative Lifestyle Droopy Dog.
I immediately said, oh, you ripped that off from Mencia, who took it from Rogan in the mid-90s, and he became a defensive heap of shit.
Not defensive, apoplectic. Like, you got to be kidding me, because I had been doing it for that point for like 3 weeks on the radio show, and people send in like tweets, like, could you say this is the guy?
Right.
But like, Rogan is the comedy police.
I only said it because there's no other human being who could have put those combination of characters together.
But it's really not that out of the realm of possibility to think of
that,
like,
Carlos Mencia would have done that bit.
It's Droopy Dog. It's not like this alternative dog. Weird thing. It's kind of hacky.
All right. So you want to float on with alternative Droopy Dog?
I do.
Oh, boy. Cancer, but don't hold it against me. Unless you're a man, then hold it all against me. I'm Alternative Lifestyle Droopy Dog, and I play the skin flute. Ew. Are you the engineer?
Yeah, I am.
Could you please... Oh, do you drive a train?
No, different kind.
I love a train.
No.
As long as I'm in the front with a long line behind me.
Listen.
Oh, boy.
I said that bringing in famous cartoon characters.
Yes.
By the way, Yosemite Sam's waiting, so if we could sort of step this up a little bit.
My other ride is a mustache.
I said that I didn't think this was a fantastic idea, and it's not personal.
You know why
personal.
Mustache rides are free?
Why is that?
He insists on it. He loves face sitting.
You know, Droopy Dog?
Yeah.
This, for me, I just want to get through this because I didn't feel like it was a great idea. I thought we should replace Charles from the Floaters with one of the spinners. I thought that was my idea, but everyone else...
I love a good spinner. I'm a tiny dog, but when my lipstick's out of the case, I'm ready to spin.
Yeah, everyone else
red
wanted
rifle,
to go
red
a different...
Rifle, red rifle.
Yeah, okay, let's go, Droopy Dog.
I'm a cancer.
Say your name. Say your zodiac sign.
cancer.
And then your name?
Alternative lifestyle, Droopy Dog.
I just think if he said Droopy, it'd be better.
But I gotta get the message out there. I'm just like anyone else. I'm here. I'm queer. Get used to it.
The Floaters are sort of a band that...
Did you know when I go to the groomer, they clean my anal glands?
They express them, I think. What they
express
do.
Them?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Alternative lifestyle, Droopy Dog. Can I say this?
You want to rub my belly?
No, don't take this personally, but...
It's okay. You can rub my belly.
We're singing to the ladies.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm definitely the wrong guy for the job.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. I didn't... Look, I'm not judging.
Maybe if I'm in the band, the other fellas will get all the girls because I'm not interested. I like cock.
Understood.
Big, stiff, but... Oh. Can I meet the rest of the band? They're all black men with big dicks.
Well, not all black men. Can I say this?
Do you have any peanut butter?
I don't have any. I could probably get some if you need it. I haven't seen your ride.
Oh, I need it.
Well, can I say this? Alternative lifestyle, Droopy Dog. I'm not judging. Because I produced, I engineered.
I bet you look great in a robe.
I engineered not only the Village People, but Yaz.
Yeah.
Or Yaz.
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 Yeah.
I think it's Yaz. Yeah, anyway, they call it Yaz.
George Benson beat me up last night.
I don't even want to know. I've worked with many gay acts. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't personally have an issue. But the audience...
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Yeah, break it down.
The audience...
Are you going to tell me the dog doesn't get a fair tryout because he's gay?
No, they want Sal... please wait in the waiting room.
We have alternative lifestyle, Droopy Dog got me off. I'm relaxed.
Tracy, listen to me. Is that Tracy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You Tracy, should rub his belly and see the little red rifle come out. It's amazing.
All right. What I'm saying is we're talking to the ladies.
Yeah, I'll talk to the ladies.
So the overt gay talk is probably
get out
not
the room, dog. This is for men.
All right, good. Tracy Morgan, that's what I'm saying. Tracy, if you could... Well, you know how it goes.
Yeah, I know how it goes, Adam Carolla.
You got the breakdown.
You bet your ass. There ain't no way I'm not going to be in the Floaters. That's why I got my wheelchair gloves from when I lost my legs in Vietnam, finger fucking on the handball courts.
So,
yeah.
Is that part of what you want to say to the ladies?
No, I'm just breaking it down for my engineer, because you and me got to be straight up. Like Run DMC with them Adidas shell tops.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask...
Fat laces.
What I'm going to ask is, you say your sign.
Yeah.
And then you say your name.
Yeah, all right.
And then you talk about the ladies. But
yeah,
it's
I'm going to make because I want to be in the Floaters.
But it's kind of nice, clean, sexy talk.
Yeah, I like clean, sexy talk.
All right, here
we
gotta
go. You got to get sensual on these bitches.
Well, don't say bitches.
We ain't on mic yet.
Okay, sorry. You're right.
I'm going to stun you, Adam Carolla.
I'm ready.
It's called the stunner. One in the pink, two in the stink. And the third one right in the Floaters.
Yeah. Again, I know this isn't part of it, but
yeah,
just to kind of warm into it.
All right.
It's clean AM sexy talk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm your man.
All right, let's do it, Tracy.
Capricorn, Tracy, what's going on? I like all women. I like all women, and I do not pull out. I repeat, I do not pull out. So if you're in the audience tonight and you want to have sex under the stage, you are going to leave here pregnant.
Hey, Tracy?
Huh?
Remember we were talking about this sort of a sexy talk that was like a little...
That's sexy. Girls like that.
Yeah.
They know I like it raw.
Yeah, no, but... Brother,
oh, baby, I like it raw.
But, well, even singing it doesn't make
Listen
it...
Listen to the beat, though. It fits. Know. I like it raw. I don't pull out.
Yeah.
I never pull out.
I'm worried about the program directors.
I let it flow straight up. I get all up in the guts.
Yeah, I'm just saying the program directors will listen to this, and if it's a little too...
Tell the program director that I know karate.
I don't think they're going to respond to that.
I'll take my jacket off. I'll be in the dojo with no shirt on and parachute pants, just like Richard Pryor's gold shoes on.
This is too... Do you know risque with
Capricorn.
The word risque? It's
like Tracy. Whiskey.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
You fucking me up, man.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
This is why the band broke up. Because engineers you
sure
trying to get too involved.
I was hired
you
on
waiting
it.
The Floaters.
I was hired
you
on
You waiting in the Floaters.
But I was brought in
you
to
You were brought
reassemble.
In, but you ain't in the Floaters. You fucking up the Floaters. And you ain't Doug Flutie, goddammit.
We probably got off on the wrong
we
foot
We might have won the game if it wasn't for goddamn Adam Carolla Flutie.
All right. You know what? I'll let you... Put it out there again. I'm just gonna
let me do my thing, man. I gotta be me.
I'm gonna mute my mic.
Capricorn. Little false start there. I'm gonna get it right though. Yeah. Yeah, this here is a mating call. Capricorn, Tracy, I play all the instruments. There's nothing on stage I can't pick up because I'm dexterous. I'm dexterous, ambidextrous, I'm amphibious and bilingual. And y'all know what I'm talking about, girls. I like a girl that can kiss nice, sensual. It ain't all gotta be all aggressive. When you kiss me nice. Give me little kisses on my neck and on my nipples. There's no reason we ain't gotta get right to the sex. I like to just hang out with the girls. Tell them stories of my past. I was a track star, damn it. Then I lift up my shirt, I slap my tummy, and I say, this is a mating call right here. Everybody's getting pregnant.
Hi, Tracy.
Everybody getting pregnant.
Tracy, I gotta unmute my mic.
You said you was muting your mic.
I did.
Fucking this up.
I'm muted for
that
as long
was
as
a hit.
I'm here.
Hey,
to...
Dawson, make sure I get a copy of that. I'll sell that on the street with DJ K Slay up in Harlem.
You can't clear
125th
that.
125th and I'll clear whatever the fuck. It's a bootleg for a reason, motherfucker. I'll clear it.
No, these are session musicians. This music is licensed.
I'll sell that on a carpet on Lexington Avenue next to the Life Fest.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Tracy, this
I
is
got
our...
Life Fest
we own this.
Crackhead'll buy anything.
The Floaters LLC, their corporation, they'll come after you. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I got this, man.
All right. Let's try one more.
Capricorn, Tracy, I like a girl that can kiss me sensual on my lips. And take her time with me. Because sometimes I feel low and I need a girl that can pick me up. When I'm feeling bad, you got to make me feel good. That's what a man needs, is a counterpart. And I'll do the best I can to make you feel good, girl. Capricorn, Tracy, I'm out.
Wow, that's good. That's usable.
That was the one.
All right, that's a keeper. Let's do
that
one.
Then I'm going to fuck her mouth until her eyeshadow runs down her face.
No, they don't.
Yeah, you got to choke him out.
Tracy, no, we're not going
to. You just choke him out. Straight up. You got to choke
put
him
that,
out.
We're not
going
to put that
him out.
We're not going to put that
you
in.
You got to choke him out. It ain't about blowjobs no more. You got to take it to the next level. You got to choke him out. Hold their nose, and they vomit on your balls.
Tracy,
on the handball courts.
I don't feel like this. Even if we did like an extended dance.
But what I gave you was gold, man.
No, we got the beginning part, I think, is good.
That's all of it.
Right, well, we can't use to choke them out and vomit on the balls.
No, I was just telling you my personal preferences, man.
No, okay, understood.
No, I wasn't going to put that on the record. I'm corporate now, Adam Carolla. I'm corporate. Alec Baldwin's my biological father. I ain't fucking around. I eat all the M&Ms.
Okay, yeah, I understood.
Yeah,
understood.
I don't fuck around.
The great Tracy Morgan, everybody. Oh,
love me
some Jay Moore. All right, let's get ready with some news. First... Stamps.com, baby. Holidays, they're upon us. You don't want to go to the post office. You got to wait there. Big Mama Got It All's behind the counter.
No, that is the right postage.
See, she's arguing. She's arguing with
well,
you.
Give me my package back.
That's
slide
right.
Slide out of the window. Why is it bulletproof?
Always behind her. Mm. She's there. She's causing a kerfuffle.
And that was Jay Moore back in 2013, one of my favorite guests that comes in. He's always just been very, very nice. I remember as an intern, there were a few interns at the time, and he came in and kind of hung out after the show, and he weirdly remembered everybody in the building's name. And that's kind of unheard of, because we're all kind of scattered throughout. And even remember the name of someone's dog that they brought in, too.
He's one of the most frequent guests in the history of the show. He's up there with Greg Fitzsimmons and David Wilde and all the greats.
Yeah, he's a legend. All right, this next clip, this one features Al Madrigal. Now, Adam's a big fan of this guy, especially after he started I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, which was just recently canceled. But I attribute Adam's new... quest into doing stand-up so much because of I'm Dying Up Here and Crashing. He used to watch both those shows religiously. Now, this is back in 2013 before Al was doing the show, but he is a really great rapport with Adam.
He's making his ACS debut on Adam Carolla Show 1060 from April 2013. This is during the Allison Rosen era with Brian Bishop there as well. The topics are Cholo Dads, The Daily Show, Jon Stewart's absence while he's making that movie. He's actually calling in from New York. It's a really fun, quick little phoner. Introduces Adam to Al as first time on the show. Check it out.
You're calling from New York, Al?
Yeah, I'm in a Brooklyn diner. I literally live underneath the Manhattan Bridge. It's like that line in Blues Brothers, like, can you hear the train go by so often you won't even hear it? Or, yeah, whatever. It's, yeah.
You can't.
So I had to actually come up to a diner where I wouldn't get cut off constantly.
I love that about you. And it is, now, what's going on with John and the Daily Show? I know he's going to direct.
He's making a movie. Yeah, right. He's making a movie. He wrote a movie. I guess what happened was they went out to do a piece. Jason Jones, one of our producers, went out to cover the story of this journalist in Iran, and they used that against him, that Daily Show footage, the interview against him, and put him in jail.
That's not the Iran I know.
I know. They're
usually so nice level-headed people. And even-keeled.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
must have been on their period.
Yeah, they threw the guy in jail, and John wrote that movie. And so he's going to shoot that. He just got back from Jordan, where he was doing some scouting. And John Oliver is going to take over during the summer for 6 weeks. So it's going to be complete mayhem when the correspondents get to actually run right. The Daily Show.
Now, was there a feeling like, maybe not, what about Al over here? What about, why John?
No, I'm still a low man on the totem pole. It's, I'm sure other correspondents. I mean, John Oliver works. He's a writer, and on any particular program, yeah, the person that's really pulling their weight,
sure,
more than most people. And I don't think there's any arguing with John Oliver. The guy lives there, and he knows the show better than anyone else. So,
by the way,
that's good.
Al's stand-up special, "Why Is the Rabbit Crying?" premieres Friday, April 26th on Comedy Central. Is that just a 1 hour? Half hour?
Yeah, it's a 1 hour special that I shot in Austin, Texas. It was me, and they group them all together, so they had four of us down there. It's me, Pete Holmes, Kumail Nanjiani, and Owen Benjamin went down and taped them the same week. And then they just start rolling those out as they're ready, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Why Is the Rabbit Crying? Comes from Cholo neck tattoos in my neighborhood. I live in L.A., go back and forth between L.A. and New York because I left my family in Los Angeles to do the show. And so I commute back and forth. And I have a son who's really into sports, so that's where that comes from. Our first encounter with a Cholo soccer dad.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You grew up in Los Angeles, so you know very well the Mexican-American father. And
I was just saying, I was at a children's hospital earlier today, and I walked in, and the first guy I saw was the guy with the mustache and the teardrop tattoo and the tattoo on his neck. And it's cool when you're 17 and gangbanging, but when you're dad and you're at the children's hospital, it gets a little weird at a certain point.
Yeah, anytime you take those guys out of their element, it's just automatically hilarious to me. Because there's a waterfall. There's an Eaton Canyon waterfall. We go up there for the first time. And there's cholos that hang out at the waterfall. So it's like, I love nature, bro. And you see these guys like walking up, and they're like, no, cholos should not be at the waterfall. And coaching our children, like, instead of using a dry erase board, the guy's just like, okay, go to my nipple, and then at the spider tattoo, the ball's going to be there. So, and that's what, and I'm the worst, I'm Mexican.
Yeah, you can do what you want. Say what you
want.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, The thing about, like, my whole thing in life is, if it doesn't make you money, it doesn't make you happy, I'm kind of out. And the Cholo lifestyle, like, I get the idea of modifying a car so it goes a little bit faster or it goes around a corner a little bit smoother or brakes a little better, handles a little better. But, like, putting wire rims on it and then putting, $20,000 worth of hydraulics into a $4,000 car so that the rim will dent when you hit a pothole, and so you go 9 miles an hour. Like, it doesn't feel fun or practical to me. I mean, same with the neck tattoo. Like, I don't think that's going to make you any more money in the corporate world. I don't feel like your car is going to handle any better.
You don't think it enhances quality of life?
Don't think it does for you or the kids. I think it just costs you money, and maybe it costs you a job, and, like, doing the car hopping thing. Like, you ever see the guys that have the crazy hydraulics and they're getting the car to jump 6 feet off the ground in the front and stuff? Again, you don't get your money back. There's not a, it's not like a national tour where you make buku bucks.
It's like a car that like it loses its value the second you drive it off the lot. It's like it only hurt.
Well, not only yes,
it's like female bodybuilding. You know,
right? They, exactly.
There's no money in that. There's a lifestyle, and
but there's not only no money in it, but every straight dude sees the chick with the spider veins in her thighs and goes, "I wouldn't fuck that with a mop handle." So it doesn't get you anything either. So what I'm saying is, like, there's not a lot of money in neck tattoos or bouncing up the front of your Impala, but it's also, it's not like super hot models are wildly attracted to guys whose cars hop.
Oh, I liked your Honda, but it's just too high.
I don't know if it's just me being half Mexican or like some sort of inner cholo that, but I have to say, when I do see the cover of a lowrider magazine, I fantasize about potentially being that guy. I mean, I'm the exact opposite of that. I didn't even know I was a Mexican comic until I went to L.A., but I do like see that badass, you know, white T-shirt, yoked out guy, and it's like, it seems like a cool guy. That seems like in his neighborhood, maybe he commands respect. I'm not saying that his annual income. I don't want that.
Right.
But, maybe to play a body switch movie for the weekend.
I've worked with guys like that because I used to install a closet with these born again gangbangers. And the thing that is nice about being that guy is he doesn't really have to talk. That guy. He's not chatty at all. I don't feel like
he can just grunt, right?
Yes, you be my wife and go, "Hey, why were you fucking my sister?"
"Hey, why were you fucking my sister?"
"I don't know about that.
But I caught you."
"I don't know, man." That's about it. That's about as far you have to get into it. You don't really have to go, "Hey, listen to me. I speak from the heart when I tell you this." You just go, "I don't know, man." I mean, I worked with a guy named Frank, and that's what he did. He's like, "Oh." He didn't really have to ever talk or explain himself, and no one ever went like, "Frank, enunciate." Like, everyone's like, he was that guy. He didn't talk. I don't know. Are those guys chatty in Spanish, Al?
Well, I don't know. My Spanish is horrible. That's the other thing. I am so emasculated by, I'm sure your Spanish is way better than mine at this point.
Thank
I was like, born and bred to be the whitest guy. My parents sent me to French school. There's a Latino comedian named Willie Barcena. Have you ever heard of him, or do you know?
No.
He's a big, yoked out, like East L.A. In the neighborhood, and is like this grappling street fighter who is that dude that doesn't talk much. And I was in his garage at one point, and because he had a little radio show. He was up in Sacramento, broadcasting to Sacramento, and he had grappling magazine. He was this badass East L.A. street fighter.
Grappling
and
magazine.
I was with another comic going, "Look, yes, grappling magazine. Look at how hilarious is that?" And then behind me, he's just standing there going, "You like to grapple, bro?" I was like, "Oh, no, really? I could grapple if
I grovel. I wouldn't.
Yeah, grovel."
I wouldn't say in front of him, but I feel like there's certain magazines, and Grappling Magazine may be one of them, where more dudes beat off to them than read them. You know what I mean? Like, there is certain magazines that I'm convinced that are just thinly veiled jack material.
Playboy?
Right. No, but
like
they,
do grapplers read Grappling?
Yeah, I know.
That's my point. I feel like they're too busy rolling with Joe Rogan to actually read Grappling Magazine. I'm trying to think, you know, it's like a head shop. It's called, you know, it's like when you see a bong and it's called a tobacco.
It's a water pipe.
Water pipe or tobacco pipers. And we all know what they're talking about. The Grappling Magazine, we know what we're talking about. There's dudes beating off to that, right? It's not actually for grapplers.
Oh, totally. And that's where that female bodybuilding thing came in. Because I saw it on Brian Gumbel at Real Sports. That's what dudes are doing. There's zero money in that, but, I mean, there's a whole society of guys who just, that's their thing, and they're paying those chicks as prostitutes. I mean, that's the only way that they make any money at all. So I'm sure there's, like, all of those muscle magazines have these weird, you know, societies of, you know,
do you think,
dudes jacking it.
Do you think those dudes who are with the chicks who look like dudes kind of want to be with dudes but just really aren't comfortable enough to make that leap?
Absolutely. That's what it totally is. It's whoever was doing the interview for, I mean, that's, these guys are gay. That's what the thing is. These are gay guys that don't want to, like, that's the point that they can push it up to.
Right.
Where they don't want to admit that they're gay.
Yeah, like, they get God on a technicality because they grew up, like, Christian or something like that. And like, well, she had a clit. I mean, it was 4 inches long, but listen here, St. Peter. Clit's a clit. Now let me in. As my grandpa used to say.
Because, yeah. when they have so much testosterone going through, and the man face starts to really come out, and the fake tan is there, it's like, it's really one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Well, there's something about, you know, when the brow starts raising on a woman, and that, you know, the cheek, the Adam's apple starts disappearing, and that cheeks start getting cuts, you know, lines in them, and then they put the spray tan over the top of it, and now we gotta, and they're grimacing all the time because they're lifting, and when it looks, when you're essentially spending 3 hours a day taking a really hard shit, your face is going to kind of stick that way.
They all look like bad guys from the movie Alien Nation. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah.
Digging deep.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Rodriguez movie maybe or something. And speaking of, so the guy with the grappling magazine is a stand-up, right?
Yeah. He is a guy that, I mean, has some sort of famous Hollywood improv fight stories where people gave him bad intros and he punched them out on the spot.
See,
listen,
Simmons?
I miss Freddie Prinze. You know, that was my idea of a nice Hispanic comic, you know what I mean?
Clean cut,
non-threatening, premature mustache. But there was a guy who I thought,
yeah, well coiffed,
nice head of hair. Do you remember him?
I just never, yeah, 19, dead. I just never fit in with those guys at all. And like when I showed up in L.A., I've been a San Francisco comedian, and then I moved down to Los Angeles. L.A. has a great way of dividing all the comics, and so it's always Chocolate Sundays, Refried Fridays, Chopstick, this, and
yeah,
all the Asians.
Yeah, they do Soul. They'll do the Soul Sunday or something like that, but we all know what they're talking about with the Soul.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I go in there, and it's an audition for the Aspen Comedy Festival, and they gave my friend, it's an HBO put on, they gave everybody HBO comedy t-shirts and hats, and then I saw that I was on the Friday Night Late Show, and they handed me a tin of Red Hots that said HBO Latino.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, and I looked at the lineup, and I go, why am I on the Late Show? And then I go, why did I get the Red Hots? And immediately after, just perfectly timed, this guy comes up and he goes, my name is Mateo. Do you mind if I interview you in Spanish for HBO Latino? I'm like, yeah, you can fucking try, man. but it's not going to work out for you. And I couldn't believe, like, that's when I realized I was, a Mexican comedian in LA's eyes.
Well, the Al part, you know, Albert would help.
He's Alessandro.
Are you Alessandro?
Alessandro Liborio Madrigal.
Oh, yeah. Well, that Madrigal.
Yeah, not Madrigal.
Yeah.
It's Madrigal. It's that same Willie Borsino. I went to Montreal, and I'm like, hey, Willie, Al Madrigal, nice to meet you. Bro, you don't even say your own name right, bro. okay, Willie, take it easy.
Alessandro Madrigal.
I'm half Mexican, half Sicilian. So I got the Italian part and the Mexican part.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to University of San Francisco. I'm all San Francisco. That's where actually, you know, I did where I met you. I opened for Attell.
Dave.
Attell, and you guys were doing first season of Man Show, and I think it was Jordan Rubin.
Right.
So very early, a long time ago.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that club. But
it was the Punchline.
Was it the Punchline?
You guys came.
Jimmy and I.
You guys had the first year, like, X Games. You guys were up there for X Games.
That's what I was going to say. We were up there presiding over the X Games when the X Games were like they weren't really they're almost just like the why games. Like, what are these? Why are these idiots?
Why are these fucking WHY?
Yeah,
the why games.
The why games. Like, why are these people laying on their skateboards and going down a street and hurting their balls? Like that. That's it was just like they didn't know what sports to do. They didn't have like the big air ramp or the freestyle motocross or anything. They just had a bunch of weird shit going on, and they like had a kernel of an idea, but it was not fleshed out at all, and it was just sort of chaos. And it was Jimmy and I that were sort of presiding over it. And I think that night we went out and saw Dave and Al. Al, thank you so much for joining the program, the stand-up special. Why is the Rabbit Crying? It premieres Friday, April 26th on Comedy Central. And Al, next time you're back in East L.A., you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Bouncing your car.
Sure, or sure.
Getting,
yeah.
getting a tat close. Or something. Come on in and say hi to us.
Yeah, would love to. All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Al. Bye. Al Madrigal. Close enough.
The Alessandro part's the Italian part. My roommate for many years was Alessandro. He's an Italian.
Oh, really? But yeah. Don't you feel like that could do Hispanic
yeah,
as well?
It's very yeah. sort of Latin-based.
Wow. But going from Al Madrigal to whatever his middle name is, Alessandro Madrigal, I mean, like, really, just a little flavor here and there, and he goes full-blown Mexican. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a condition when you put it that way.
He's got full-blown Mexican.
Oh, wow.
And there's nothing we
What's
can do.
What's the prognosis?
Pray.
Yeah, just pray. Just, you know, do you have some rosaries or something you could rub?
Pray for it to be quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can help his pain.
Mm.
We can help that.
And that was Al Madrigal's debut on the Adam Carolla Show back in 2013. Now.
He's since been on again. He's a great guest.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. All the stories you hear about him, he's a really great human being. Turns out those old Death Squad Ice House shows, he just stepped in and helped Brian Redband like get the lease so they could do those Joe Rogan shows before and after comedy, like stand-up sets.
Yeah.
So the whole reason that happens is because Al Madrigal was like, oh, they have a space there. I'll help you negotiate. And like came in and just did something nice for him. I just heard it the other day. I was like, oh, wow, what a nice guy.
Yeah, he truly is a nice guy. If you ever get a chance to speak to him, you can just tell this guy is a purely good person.
He's hilarious, too.
Yeah. All right, before we get to this next clip, I want to remind everybody, Adam is going to be doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared out in Salt Lake City at the end of the month, October 25th and 26th. I'll pull some balls and make you laugh. All right, this next clip dates back to April of 2009, and it features angel investor Jason Calacanis.
He was one of these weird guests they had on early in the podcast's run. There's quite a few of them where you're like, why would this guy be on? But he came on to talk about how you market things in the internet age and how you basically run an internet business. He was a really good guest. People really liked him. And they talk about Zappos. I think he was involved with Blip. There's a bunch of other stuff that comes up. They basically explain why capitalism is better than communism and why all these internet businesses are found in the West, particularly in the United States. It's a fun bit of a conversation. If you want to hear the rest of it, Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts. You can hear the entire episode. I highly recommend it. Until then, check it out. This is Jason Calacanis on Adam Carolla Show, episode 33 from April 2009.
Well, get it on, kiddies. Welcome to the podcast. Jason Calacanis is with us. Jason is an entrepreneur. He is a web entrepreneur. And I figure most people who are listening to this show probably are interested in some way, shape, or form in possibly this as a business or certainly as an entertainment outlet. So we thought we'd have guys like Jason on to help steer us and help form us in this. Because I really don't know anything other than this is what I'm doing now.
Right.
But and that Mike August threw something into a trash can. Is that you, Mike?
Yes.
All right, knock it off. Point is I brought you in to hear about the business side of this whole thing.
Sure.
Because this is where your expertise lies.
Absolutely. This is the best way to get free advice. Bring him in as a guest.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Pick their
are we even recording this? Or
funny.
Funnier if the audience knew that we lost half the recording.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. Actually, the show is – I've listened to, I think, 4 or 5 of the shows now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, because I used to listen to you on 97.1.
Yes.
I'm a big Howard Stern fan, so in honesty, I would listen to Stern.
Sure.
And if he starts – because I'm from New York. And, you know, like 60% of the time it's interesting, 40% not. So then I'd switch over to you. And then, like, if Danny Bonaducci was talking, I'd be like, oh, I'd change it off. But if you were talking, I'd stay.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's basically the...
Yeah, sure. It's where you landed.
And then now listening to it, it's so much more... You're so much more interesting than when you were on radio.
Well, radio in general, I mean, what's happened to show business, perhaps, I mean, maybe the more channels you have, the faster things have to move, the more shinier objects the kiddies need to see. And so there's this metronome that has just got sped up to the point where it throws content off. It's like nobody wants to be a bore. And so there's this thing where you go, well, what's the opposite of boring? Fast. It's why Mexicans fuck up candy. Mexico can't make candy because they can't make desserts. They make horrible desserts in
terrible,
that country.
Actually.
Terrible desserts. And this is why the Mexicans can't make dessert, because Mexico has essentially identified the one ingredient that makes something go from a dinner roll to a sweet roll, and that's sugar.
Right.
So they've basically said, look, without this sugar, this quiche would just be, you know, this pie would become a quiche, or this donut would become a bagel. So what they've done is they went, okay, so if sugar is the best part about dessert, then we should eliminate the yeast and the baking powder and all the other, the salt and the stuff that doesn't really taste very good.
Right.
And we'll give them tons and tons of sugar.
Right.
What they failed to realize is you need the other components to bring out the flavor of the sugar. And radio and TV have done this thing where they're like, let's get rid of the baking soda.
Right.
And now they're moving too fast.
That actually made sense, that metaphor.
Did it?
To us. I don't know if people listen. No, it does actually make a lot of sense. I mean, it's sped up to the point of absurdity. I was going to use the R word, but you can't use that word. I just got sent to Twitter that you can't use. There's a whole website, the R word. We can't use it anymore.
Oh, retard. Yeah.
Very difficult.
Because I feel like I'm grandfathered in because I've been calling people retards since I was 8 years old. But yes, you're not supposed to use
but
that.
But I can use the term retardation.
That you can.
That this person suffers from retardation.
You can say that. Although, isn't that insulting as well?
Well, it depends on the context. If you're saying this person suffers from retardation and they actually do, yes, it's okay.
It's okay.
But if you're actually of normal intelligence and you suffer, and I say you suffer from retardation, sort of not cool.
But yeah, right. I agree. Although I do like you're a car guy, Jason, and I do like when you advance or retard timing. And when you turn your timing back on your distributor, you're retarding timing, and maybe, as at least I learned from Mario Lopez watching TV last night, we're going to have to start saying disabled, learning disabled
learning
timing?
Learning disabled is the proper, or, learning disabled timing, right, yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. All right. There's nothing but fatties to make fun of. But anyway, Jason, and I thank you for the compliment, by the way. I do like this format better. You know about computers. It all started in the mid-90s.
Yep.
And you managed to make millions of dollars doing what a lot of people who are listening might want to attempt to do. So why don't you tell them how to do it?
Yeah. Well, I've gotten lucky three times. Those are people can tell me, oh, you've been so lucky. And I think, three or four times, yeah.
Yeah.
I started the internet business back in the early 90s, basically, before it was called the internet, before there was a web, when it was just, you know, sending files and FTP and Gopher and all that kind of stuff. I started a print magazine in New York called the Silicon Alley Reporter to report on the internet in 1995, 96.
It is crazy how new this is, because something that feels like it's been around for as long as it's been around is so new, and you rarely get that. I mean, this is
certainly something that is so intensely changed our lives.
Right.
And we are the last generation.
And also the fact that, sorry for cutting you off, but we all grew up with a telephone in our house.
Right.
And then we later on had a cordless phone, and now we have a cell phone, but it still had the word phone in it.
Right.
We didn't all grow up with some kind of crude computer and then some form of the internet that was limited. It was like we had zero, and now we have everything.
Yeah. And, as I was saying, we're the last generation that will remember a time before the internet, when the internet didn't actually exist. Like, we remember when you called to buy tickets for a flight.
Right.
Like, you would call and be like, hey, what flights are leaving from New York to Miami?
Right.
And they'd be like, well, we have one on Tuesday at 5, and they would read back to you the list.
I know. And it's crazy. And every once in a while, you'd have a weird, human moment where you'd go, you sound like you're having a good day. And they'd go, what's your name? And you'd have some weird conversation with them.
Oh, you're from Poughkeepsie, too.
Yeah.
My cousin's there. And all of a sudden, you have a 15-minute conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, those days are gone. Now it's just masturbating by the computer and hitting the mouse to buy your tickets to Southwest. But, which is a good question for you, and I know you know all about the internet, you know about the business side about it, but socially, I was saying, you're talking about the first generation to know life before the internet. Our kids are not going to have that luxury, if in fact it is one. I was saying that the internet and the computer is probably bringing people together while simultaneously isolating them.
It's exactly correct. It lowers your empathy, actually, when you're on the computer. It drains those sort of empathy centers because people are just objects, right? So if you go on a message board and somebody disagrees with another person, they're just like, oh, my God, I have to destroy this person, just like it's Donkey Kong or something.
Right,
right. Because that's what we've been trained to do. Like, oh, this person disagrees, I crush them, I win, boom.
Yeah, I'm going to say to my kid when he's like 13, like, hey, why don't you get out and make some friends? He's going, I have tons of friends. They're in Hungary, but I have tons of friends. And I'm going to be like, those are virtual friends who live in different countries. You need ones you can play with.
Well, right. So the downside is like, okay, you don't see these friends. But the upside is, if you remember during the 80s, that's when I grew up, I think you're a little bit older. Maybe you grew up in the 70s or something.
Yeah. Well, depending, 50s, I could have grown up in the...
You look like the same age.
I'm 44. So
okay, I'm 38. So about the same. So when we grew up in the 80s, we were trained to think like, oh my God, the Russians are going to destroy us.
Right.
It's the end of the world. Like, I thought Russians were like stormtroopers. Like, that was the evil empire, right?
I saw Jaws, Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 enough to know that they all looked like Ivan Drago.
Yeah. I mean, these were dangerous, scary people.
Right.
And they were going to kill us in a nuclear holocaust the day after, all that stuff. And if we had been playing Xbox with them, like Call of Duty 4, we'd know they're normal people.
Right.
Which is eventually what happened. When I lived in Brooklyn, by the time the Cold War ended, they all moved to Brighton Beach, and they were just like the Irish people. They just drank too much and had too much fun, were gregarious, and you couldn't really hate them.
Right.
So in that way, people have empathy, and it changes.
You got to know them, so you couldn't hate them. Yeah.
Right, and young people in Iran actually are very much using the internet, blogging on Facebook and social networks, even though it's illegal. And so it's going to make the world a lot smaller. It's going to be harder to hate other people.
Right,
and that's why Kim Jong Il won't let his people on the internet.
Sure, I mean, what gets you to hate another culture is a sort of perceived difference, and then once you talk to them and find out that you're not so different, after all, I know it's a cliche, then you tend to hate them less. Look, even if you're just talking about fans of a team you don't like, all you have to do is have one buddy show up to your party wearing his Pats jersey. He turns out to be a pretty cool guy, and all of a sudden you're not so tough on Pats fans.
Right.
I don't know how you make the internet illegal or how you police that. I don't know if they're doing a good job of that in some of these OPEC nations. I don't know.
It's binary. I mean, you either turn it off or you have it on with sort of light censorship. So, you know, North Korea, obviously, they don't have the internet. And in China, what they do is they have the internet, but they'll block some sites sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So, like, for a week, New York Times and Wikipedia won't work. And then it will. And then, like, a certain page on there about a story will be blocked, and they can just do that with the routers. But everybody knows how to get around it because there's these things called proxies. So they just go to a proxy and they get it. So it's sort of like a wink and a nod. Like, you shouldn't be doing subversive stuff in China.
Right.
But if you do it and you behave yourself, fine.
The general communism, just that notion, like, or just in general, like, hey, we're going to oppress our people, or we're going to keep information from them, or we'll essentially create this, you know, police environment. As a world, we haven't done the math on that one yet. Like, we don't know that one doesn't work so good. I mean, it's insane to me. Like, when I was 10, I realized that communism couldn't work because here's the deal. If my dad would only pay me to mow the lawn after I was done mowing the lawn, then that's the only thing that got me to mow the lawn. If he would just pay me without mowing the – if he just said, look, you'll just get paid on Fridays whether you mow the lawn or not. Right. And by the way, you don't have to be the best lawnmower on this block because there's no competition. I mean, like, the second they remove the competition, game over – everyone's going to pop some Stoli or some pop off and just get loaded back in their 400 square foot bunker apartment. I can't believe for one fucking second, knowing how human beings work, you would think this worked, because it doesn't work at all.
Right. So you just have to wait for the people who are in charge to die. I mean, like when Fidel Castro at some point.
Well, I would argue that we should go kill him, really, but that I'm a little extreme. But, I mean, it's so insane. I think I was talking about on this podcast a few weeks ago where Alec Baldwin, who's a friend of mine, he's the leftist-leaning guy in Hollywood,
right,
is going up in front of the powers that be in Manhattan and New York City saying, if you guys raise the taxes on us shooting in your city, we're going to pack up and move out of the city. You're going to lose a ton of revenue if you raise taxes. Please don't raise taxes on shooting in New York City.
Right.
You're going to lose business. And it's like, yeah, buddy, don't you get it?
Right.
That's what the right's been saying the whole time.
Yep.
Of course it's going to drive your business out of here, and you're going to shoot in upstate New York or go
Canada.
To Canada and go do whatever. Of course. Listen to yourself.
Yeah, liberals don't let the facts drive
get
them.
In the way of their fucking fluffy ideas all the time. They don't know anything. I mean, they don't know. It's like, it's weird. It's like, I feel like I need to pull my liberal friends aside and explain to them, here's what motivates people. Here's what doesn't motivate people. You giving them welfare, enough just to barely keep them alive, will keep them home and angry, by the way, you.
Learned helplessness. You're basically training them to – it's a psychological condition.
And ironically, they hate the government more than the people that are paying the taxes. My mom was on welfare and hated the government more and would bash the government more than the guy who lived across the street who actually went to work and paid the taxes so she could hammer the welfare checks.
Right.
And I was like, you of all people should like the government. You're actually living off the government.
Yeah. Capitalism is – been the greatest driver for helping humanity in the history of our existence.
And of course.
It's very hard for people to accept that because they can see some wild swings at times, like what's happening with the stock market now.
But are these fucks so naive that they're like, oh, man, Upjohn and Pfizer and all these drug companies, they're ripping off the American. Okay, let's get them to go under, and then you don't have your AZT.
Right.
You don't have essentially a cure for AIDS
if
you remove the money component from these companies. That's what fuels them. I know it goes off in different directions sometimes, and people get busted, and sometimes people get away with it. But if you do not have the, hey, we can make some money off this, then you wait. And I just got to say this, because it's the same fucking people that are complaining about, you know, what's being done, what's not being done, what they're doing in Europe and whatever.
Right.
You hate the drug companies. The drug companies are evil, but yet they've essentially taken AIDS and turned it from a death sentence to something you can live with because they're evil and want money.
Right.
You don't understand that?
It's a pretty driving force that we want to succeed in life. And if there's a prize at the end, that's better. And if you look at what's happening in Europe, you know, they don't own any internet company of note.
Right.
The reason the United States dominates the internet industry is because we have this insane capital system where you get disproportionately rewarded if you kick fucking ass.
Right.
The Google guys become billionaires. The eBay guys become billionaires. You know, Yahoo guys become billionaires. And guess what? eBay, Yahoo, Google own the internet around the world. They're dominating around the world.
Right.
So we created this massive system of fluidity. We could fire people, employment at will. It's very much in the favor of the companies. Therefore, America owns a disproportionate amount of the global GDP.
And that was Jason Calacanis on the 33rd Adam Carolla podcast ever.
It's fun to dig these out because it's like, why would we play this one? Why would we play that one? It's like, why not?
Yeah.
We've heard this in years. What happened on this? Oh, well, that guy's on. Okay. I got one in mind for next week. It's a real weird one.
Yes. Can't wait. All right. We have one more clip for everybody. And this one was last year. Sarah Tiana returns to the show. Now, she had a podcast, one podcast with Rob Riggle. She still does it, just not on the network. And she's just very, very funny. Nice southern gal.
She was on Shark Week with Adam when he came on live, and then she was also on the Baldwin Roast, right?
Not on the Baldwin Roast, no.
Which where she almost should make fun of him. Oh, it was just on Shark Week. She was making fun of Adam's teeth.
Yeah.
They did a mini roast there. That's right.
But anyway, she came back to the show. They discussed Mitch Hedberg and one of my favorite things in the world, Casino Bucks.
How to spread them. And then they get into women's obsession with like murder content, whether it's in drama or like in true crime. And they don't really settle on why women are into it. My favorite murder gals say it's about empathy and a bunch of other things, which is probably true. And actually, it's funny that you brought up I'm Dying Up Here. This episode started, this portion with Sarah Tiana was talking about I'm Dying Up Here and Andrew Santino in his role on the show because he was performing with Sarah Tiana. And Adam knows Andrew Santino was his favorite character from I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
So it's weird you mentioned that at the start of the clip for 1060 because it's a full circle, great magnet from this episode as well. And that's the Adam Carolla Show 2444, Sarah Tiana, RJ Bell, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop from November of last year.
Brian was talking about his buddy Derek, who works for TMZ. I said, that's my favorite guy. He said, I've never seen the show. Now we got this going again.
Yes.
I should hook up with Derek, or you should watch TMZ, or I should hook up with Andrew.
Yeah, we need an exchange program.
And by the way, I live with a lot of people. I mean, there are folks I know who could probably use a buddy for a show they watch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think my parents might be fall under that heading.
I can go over to Kalen's house, hang with his dad. We can get a whole like thing going
right,
on.
Right. Yeah.
It's good.
You know, it's hard. I feel like just as a comic, it's hard for me to watch more comedy at the end of the day. Like, I'm just so sick.
The busman's
of
holiday.
You and your dumb jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like at the end of the day, I just want to watch murder. So I usually just watch true crime at night. That's really all I watch.
Yeah.
Women.
We love it.
Yeah.
They love it. And it transcends sort of natural thought than just sort of a general, like the things you go, well, of course everyone likes this because this is yummy or this is nice or people like puppies or people like flowers or people like leavened bread or something like that. But for women,
you know, the touchstones,
it speaks to your loins.
It's puzzle solving. That's what it is. It's puzzle solving. We're trying to figure out who murdered somebody.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that.
You don't think so?
You don't know why you like it, Sarah.
Yes, and
I'll tell you why.
I like it.
Oh Jesus!
It's first off, it's they do a puzzle solving part of it, but they always start off like in a sleepy, quiet neighborhood.
Yeah.
You get to go.
Much like the one you're in.
I'm in a quiet neighborhood. And then they go, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. And then you go, I'm anywhere.
I live anywhere.
I'm anywhere. And then they start looking around. And the next thing you know, your body's going into fight or flight a little bit. Like, what? So this could have. Oh, she thought she knew him well.
Mm-hmm. I thought I knew my husband well.
Thought he was a gentleman.
I think I know my husband.
He was a scoutmaster and a certified pilot. And they're like, God, geez, you don't know people when you think you know them, do you?
You're saying I want to be a victim.
I'm saying it plays into all the thoughts of this. Something scary can happen to my family.
The manufactured
crazy,
terror.
Like it is this. It's this. We need it. I mean, we don't need it. We want it.
Oh, you're saying
we it's like a button you have to keep pushing where you get a little.
It's our gun.
Weird nicotine shot or medicine or something. Mm-hmm. It's like it's this thing of like I need to feel. I'm not. I mean, it's in it. It's in us.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like murder is, with women, it's like so personal, but with men, it's like completely impersonal. That's why like mass murder is only done by men. I think that's also because women would never leave a mess for someone else to clean up, but that's just like my ridiculous theory.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about true crime. I feel like it's like, I want to know who did it, and I bet it's the husband.
Yeah, it's always the husband.
It's always
and
the husband.
It's never the person before the first act break that they want you to think it is.
My favorite part of Law & Order is that they never answer the phone and it's not something related to the case. You ever notice whenever someone answers a phone on a crime show, it's because they got a tip.
Right.
We got a tip.
It's never like be home for dinner.
Did you order a Grubhub?
Yeah.
So it's universal. It's universal. I don't think I've ever met a woman that is not into this.
Yeah. I think the only exception would be if we witnessed or somehow were a tertiary player in a murder, I wouldn't watch murder shows anymore. So I think you're onto something.
True.
In this sleepy little life, this safe, nerfy life we have, we want to see some crime.
Here's a way we could get to the truth.
Okay.
Mike August is interested in the truth.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thought.
There's the truth and the truth.
Here's a quiz. I'll put it out to the people, our fans on Twitter and beyond. But I'm gonna I'm just feeling this out as we go. But I'm trying to. I feel like I'm getting on to something here. Okay. Let's see if we can figure this one out, and we'll get the input of people here and beyond
and elsewhere.
And elsewhere. First, I'll tell you this half of the show brought to you by LifeLock.com. Enter Adam. Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. And Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. Here's my here's how we're going to figure out how this works with the chick wiring. Are dudes, I know dudes who are wired like chicks.
Okay.
Usually can tell by the way they cross their legs. See the guys that they're like, dude, what about your ball sack? Like, why are you? It's so hard to do it that way. It's so much more comfortable just to put your ankle on top of your kneecap. And yeah. they're like, no. Like, Dr. Drew is wired like a chick, and he crosses.
Slides it up there.
Whoa, yeah. No, you can see the guys. Like, the guys are more sensitive, like, the guys who are on NPR cross their legs more like that than the guys who do like hot sports takes on Fox, you know? Like, it's just, okay. It's a different, look for the leg cross. Because women cross their legs that way. So look for the leg cross. Are guys that are more wired like chicks more interested in these stories than Jocko Willink? or just dude, you know, just your dudes, like
bros.
Yeah, like, because I don't like the guys, like the mechanic, like the gearhead guys and stuff like that. It doesn't come up. It's not a part. They're just dude on dude. Right. You know, Henry Rollins. Does he like this stuff? Because I feel like he's got no time for it. I wouldn't hear, but I'm trying to think. What do you guys think around here?
I know a fairly wide swath of dudes, from dudes who work at TMZ to dudes who are, you know, really into sport. None of the dudes I know are into this stuff. This feels like a complete chick domain.
But are the dudes that are more wired like chicks more into it?
Like, I feel like Joe Buck would be into it, right?
Yeah.
Joe Buck definitely crosses his legs.
Yeah, he could be into it.
He could be a secret.
Dawson's not into it.
She's big north of the border.
It's Joe.
Dawson may not be into it.
I do like true crime.
You do like true crime. I have you as a dude wiring. Well, look, we all like
cross
it.
Cross your legs right
it's
now.
It's all good,
look.
But I mean, do you seek it out? Do you watch the shows? Is it something like
Dateline?
Does it suck you in?
You're allowed to say yes.
I have a series record on Dateline.
Yes. Boom!
However, you got to get me in the first 10 minutes. It's got to be good. A lot of Dateline, they should really just call it Lifetime. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, and I won't watch Lifetime.
The I Survive ones,
if it's a real good one. Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Spoiler alert, you survived.
I like it.
I don't like the I Survived.
But the actual murders seem to be very dude-heavy, the murders themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the retelling is what the ladies like.
What about the ones where people are, like, put in horrible prisons?
I like those.
I feel like women are into those.
Those are awesome.
I don't know about
that. I get depressed.
Oh. Yeah, that depresses me.
The Midnight Express stuff
The one from Mauritius is like the greatest episode I've ever seen. Those are where you're muling something back. You've never done it before. It was a one and done thing. And then you got put in a prison in Mauritius
for
20
years. The tram's leaving in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Exact same thing.
That's Locked Up Abroad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
Good reenactments on that one.
Maybe the Mason-Dixon line is... Ooh, it's another one. I think women watch stuff and go, oh, my God, could you imagine if that happened to you or your kids? I don't know if guys have the could that, but maybe we could solve it this way. A percentage of guys who watch porn think that they're the guy that's in the porn.
Oh, yeah, POV guy.
They watch it as if, I don't have that. I have the I'm watching porn. Mm-hmm. I don't have the I'm in this chick. I wonder if the guys that are in also like more Dateline. Dawson, good. When you watch porn, are you in the porn or are you watching the porn?
No, I'm just a viewer.
All right.
Split it.
Going lazy on us, huh, Dawson? Just kind of sitting back watching people fuck?
It opens your world of porn.
Entertain me.
You know, if you got to be the guy, you can't.
Yeah, now it can't be an erasure.
You're going to play all kinds of porn.
Right.
I think it has more to do with injustice. You know, like the prisons, you know, like it's like a little too harsh and real for me. With like with Dateline, I know they're going to solve the crime, like Law and Order, stuff like. So I'm like, yes, I want justice. And
satisfying ending.
Yeah, it feels satisfying at the end. Like I can fall asleep with Law and Order on because I know they're going to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about missing it.
Is all of that based on true stories like Law and Order?
They say they are.
Yeah, they say them.
Yeah. That's part of the title card.
Could you enjoy it?
A good Murder, She Wrote and a good Heat of the
Murder,
Night.
She Wrote used to be my favorite.
I think ladies like the whole swath.
You two are wired like chicks.
Doesn't
How'd that happen?
Doesn't Fondelier host a wrap-up show for one of these?
I hope I'm wired
Did
like
you know
a
that?
Oh, I don't know.
For Sword and Scale?
Oh, I think there's something like that. I got too many podcasts. I walked in here last night, 11 o'clock at night. Dylan was doing a podcast.
I don't like that.
Really?
Yeah. I just did a thing where I walked by the door, showed him my head, and then I just left.
Oh, God.
Just to freak him out.
That was good.
But I have, were you freaked out?
You don't know what it's called?
Signed, Dylan Wren.
That's right.
For on iTunes.
All right. Sarah, dates. How many dates? You're out doing Morongo Casino. You're doing that.
With Dennis Miller this Friday.
That's I'll Friday night. Tomorrow night is, well, not tomorrow night. That's Friday.
A couple days away.
Huh? There will be tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
What the hell day is it?
People hearing this on Thursday.
Oh, tomorrow night. Yeah, sorry. That's my fault. That's my fault. Yes, that's tomorrow night. Yes.
Yeah, and then next week I'll be in Vegas with Daniel Tosh at the Mirage. And then at the end of the month of November, I'll be in Edmonton at the House of Comedy or the Comic Strip.
Have you worked, done shows with Dennis Miller before?
Yeah, I've done a few shows with him.
I like Dennis. I did a show with him once and I said, how about I'll do 30 minutes and you do 30 minutes, and then we'll both come out and do like Q&A for 30 minutes or something. And he said, how about you do 25 minutes, and I do 25 minutes, and then we'll come out and do Q&A. And I said, okay. But I don't know if I even know the difference between doing 25 minutes and 30 minutes. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, sure.
Let's deliver less.
Yeah.
Yes, they don't have the difference. The same.
As long as we're getting paid the same. Yeah. But now, are you opening? You do 20 minutes? What is an average opening?
Yeah, I do about 20, 25, and then he does the rest. He'll do an hour after me. Casinos are the best because it starts right on time and it ends right on time. You can do an hour. It's an hour and a half show exactly.
Do you get the casino bucks to eat with?
Yes, usually you get some sort of per diem put on your room or something.
They will let you walk around and they'll go like, you can spend $200 on food or beverages or whatever, but you can't go into the Godiva chocolate shop.
Yeah,
and you can't, it's kind of a weird thing.
A lot of restrictions.
Not the steakhouse.
Yeah, you can't go to the steakhouse.
But the employee cafeteria, go nuts.
Yeah.
Right, they do, and
the employee cafeteria is a sad pen.
Oh man, that's a tough.
That is a
in
tough.
There.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that.
And you can't really take the food out, so you gotta sit in there and eat it. Mm.
Well, the funniest is when they gave us the one, and I was like, "But we can eat at the TJ, which is my Chinese
P.F. Chang's.
Yeah. Yeah, we can go to the P.F. Chang's, and we had like 300 or 500 bucks at like casino bucks. And I'm like, we got to do it all now. And then Mike August ordered a huge pile of pork fried rice. I was like, don't order some shrimp or something. We got to spend money or not fill ourselves up. And then somebody recognized me and sent over drinks to the table.
No!
And I was like, no, no.
Like Brewster's Million.
No, send them. I'm buying you a drink. And then they were like, we're leaving. I was like, oh, you can leave with a drink then. Take the drink back. And they're like, why can't you take our drink? And I'm like, because I got $500 to spend. I can't do it with your free drinks.
Yeah.
It's a weird
wiring.
You can
only use it at P.F. Chang's and like Cold Stone. You can't use it at any.
Right.
Like, yeah. I could really use it at the little store so I could take stuff up to my room, you know, get some Tylenol, whatever, for just being in that environment.
It is. It's fun. I think it's a little window into everyone's wiring because like Mike Lynch, who would travel with us, grew up around super cheap parents. Mm-hmm. And so it's like if we were meeting in the lobby at 5 a.m. to fly out of Philadelphia and we're in Atlantic City, he'd get down there at 4:30 because he still has $17 of casino bucks.
Yeah. Buy some coffee beans.
Yeah.
Like literally like that thing of like, goddamn you, mom and dad, for wiring this into me where
you can't leave that on the table.
So many other people, they just sleep. And then you'd go, how many casino bucks do you have? And they go, I don't know. Weird at PF Chang's. Like, no, Mike's got to get up. He's got to get down there. I'm also thinking the same way. Like, give those casino bucks to somebody. We can't take them with us.
That's exactly how I think.
Are you that
way?
When
you grow up poor, you're just like, well, this is all that I can have. And I only got like a dollar allowance. So I never, like once I finally got a job, I was constantly spending my money way too fast. But then also, anytime I get something for free, like I would feel like I would be so skinny if people didn't give me stuff for free.
Oh my God.
But I feel compelled to
eat it. The food is insane.
Yes.
I also realized this scary, sad tableau, which is Sunday night, me, my wife, and the kids were out. We're eating dinner. And we're trying to, like, Lynette was going, like, we got to come up with some allowance rules, like what they're doing, how much they get paid. They can't just go, give me money, I'm going to this, give me money. While we're ordering sushi, like $170 bucks worth of sushi, we're trying to beat this out at the same table while everyone was eating,
we should really
California
set up some boundaries.
Rolls and spicy tuna rolls. And I was like, it's so insane. Can you imagine you and your parents out eating sushi for $150 bucks,
never
working out the allowance?
It literally never happened.
Never.
Never once.
Undoable.
You know what my parents did is they told my sister and I, they said, we'll buy you anything you want as long as you pay half. So if you pay half, we will pay the other half of whatever you want. But you have to save the money yourself, which was very difficult on a dollar a week.
4 years later, do you still want a rainbow bright?
My sister was like, we're going to save up for a trampoline. And I was like, hell yeah. And then like a month later, she's like, I have $4. And I was like, they stopped making trampolines. I told her that they stopped making trampolines.
What were your chores?
Oh, I had to vacuum and dust the house.
Where'd you grow up?
In Calhoun, Georgia. We have a Nike outlet.
You
might know it.
It's on the city flag.
You've seen it. It's between Atlanta and Chattanooga. Real small town.
Who were you watching growing up where you're like, I can do stand-up?
No, but I never saw stand-up until college. And I saw Mitch Hedberg. That was the first person I ever saw. And people were like, is that when you started to do stand-up? And I was like, you don't see Mitch Hedberg and go, I can do that. Like, right. I didn't think about it for another 5 years. And then I got dared to do it. And then I just started. I watch it still sometimes, but I never watched a lot of it. I thought you had to have a sitcom and then you could do stand-up.
Oh,
I didn't understand how it worked. I wasn't a huge comedy fan.
What? Mitch shall be missed. I don't say that about all the comedians, but
one of
Mitch
the best
Hedberg.
Jokes ever. Whenever someone hands me a flyer, I feel like it's their way of saying, hey, you throw this away. My favorite Mitch Hedberg joke.
I love all that. I just love that guy's jokes. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know if you're attracted to like vibe or tempo. I mean, the jokes are there. The jokes are always funny, but I always just vibed with that guy. I always thought he was so funny.
So funny.
God, he's been gone for 10 years now. It's been a while.
Crazy to think about.
And that's Sarah Tiana on the Adam Carolla Show last year. Love her. All right, that'll do it for Carolla Classics on this lovely Sunday. So thank you again so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts, and let everybody know that you're digging the show. It really means a lot to us, and thank you to everybody who's already done that. We'll see you next weekend. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.